Chapter 11. Monlow Harbour, Nerth, that evening.
So? Asked Namit Jira, looking up from his desk.
We've let them both go, sir, said Dinas Chain.
Why?
Their story checks out. The Hets went looking for Axel Roxana, chasing the same suspicions as us. They got her into a vehicle to take her away from the palace for private interrogation. The Geno like to protect their own, sir.
Namit Jira put the quill he had been using back into its power well and rose to his feet, tapping his left index finger against his pursed lips. It was a modest gesture, designed to give the impression that he was pondering, but Chain knew it was a mechanism the Lord Commander employed to curb his temper. He watched as Namit Jira wandered towards the chamber window into the pool of soft light cast by the setting sun. The light made his long, gold-embroidered robe glow.
But the vehicle, Namit Jira asked, wasn't it swiped out on a blank biometric to avoid detection?
Chain shook his head.
The biometric was bronzes. For some reason it didn't read cleanly in the scanner. I am advised that this is occurring quite often. Scanning glitches caused by the pervasive dust. Now we've checked it, it evidently was. Bronzes.
And Roxana? Namit Jira asked.
He patted his thigh and his thylacine got up from the rug and trotted over to him.
What about her?
She broke free and fled into the dunes.
She broke free from two frontline Hets?
I believe they underestimated her resolve, sir, said Chain. When we questioned them, the Hets both seemed frankly embarrassed that she had escaped. They were searching for her when we found them.
Do you believe any of this, Dinas?
I have no reason not to, Lord. The facts match up perfectly. However, I will admit that I am uneasy whenever that happens.
You have them under scrutiny?
Yes, Lord.
Namit Jira sank down into a crouch and tenderly scrunched the thylacine's ears with both hands. It closed its eyes in pleasure.
What about Roxana?
We're questioning her aides, but they don't seem to have been aware of any indiscretion, and we're searching for the Axor, obviously.
Can she survive in the desert?
Without supplies or protective clothing? No, not more than a day. I expect all we'll find of her is her bones.
Bronzy poured snaps into two glass cups and handed one to Sonica. Bronzy held out his glass to Clink, and Sonica did so, reluctantly.
"Here's to the skin of our fucking teeth," said Bronzy, trying to make light of it.
He'd been trying to make light of it for a long time. Sonica's mood was low, and Bronzy hated that.
"Here's to Roxana," Sonica replied. May some power protect her from the fate we delivered her into.
Bronzy shrugged and drank to that instead.
They'll treat her well enough, Petto, he said. They only want answers.
They are not sentimental creatures, Hurt, Sonica replied. They use any means they can to achieve their goals. They let my dancers get slaughtered just to throw the enemy off guard. What on terror makes you think they'll use Roxana any less clinically?
Bronzy couldn't come up with an answer. Sonica took another sip and regarded his glass.
This comes so easily to you, doesn't it, Hurt?
Why is that?
Bronzy sniffed.
I don't know. It's the Astartes, I suppose. To be chosen by them, to be singled out by them for service... That's an honour, in my book. The Astartes are the image of the Emperor, whom I adore, and to whose work I've devoted my life. To serve them is to serve him. There is no finer duty.
Whatever happened, Sonica asked, to Company first, Imperium second, Geno before Gene?
Bronzy made a sour face and lifted his meaty shoulders.
That's just something we say, isn't it?
I thought it was something we believed, Sonica replied. Bronzy finished his drink and poured another.
The Emperor is the Emperor, he said, and the Astartes are his chosen, the brightest and the best. I'm comfortable working for them.
Provided they're on our side, said Sonica. Bronzy snorted.
What does that mean?
Sonica shook his head. Nothing. I have a gut dislike of this sordid intrigue, Hurt. I'm a soldier, not a spy, and lately I've been wondering which of those words best describes the Alpha Legion. Bronzy shook his head and decided it was high time to change the subject. He looked Sonica up and down, approvingly.
Formal looks good, he said.
Been a while, Sonica replied, adjusting the cuff of his dress uniform.
When are you off?
10-15 minutes.
The clowns are lucky to have you, said Bronzy.
The chamber door behind them opened without any knock. Moo marched in, followed by Franco Boone.
Drink?
Bronzy asked lightly. She glared at them both. Boone walked past Moo and helped himself.
That was your idea of delicate, was it? Moo asked.
Well, we proved she was up to something, didn't we? Bronzy answered.
You were arrested and interrogated by the Lucifers, Moo growled.
Who, please remember, let us go, without charge, Bronzy countered.
How did Roxana escape? Moo asked.
How would you have escaped us, Honan? Bronzy asked playfully. Because, you know, you would have.
Moo hesitated.
Uxors can be quite tenacious when they want to be, Bronzy continued, taking the bottle out of Boone's hand and pouring himself another drink.
Have you come to arrest me? Sonica asked the Gene Whip. Or can I go meet my new unit?
You're all right, Boone said. I'd have liked a cleaner end to this matter, but it's worked out decently. Roxana was a bad seed, but the Chilliard has saved face.
How? Asked Moo in a mocking tone.
These two were caught in the act of chasing her, Boone said levelly, knocking back his drink.
Clear proof that we were trying to clean our own house and root out corruption. In the circumstances, their arrest was probably the best thing that could have happened. It may have been by accident or downright incompetence, but Bronzy and Sonica have protected our regimental reputation.
Company first, Imperium second, Gino before Gene, Bronzy chuckled.
Sonica shot him a hard look.
What?
Asked Bronzy. Sonica put down his glass and lifted his pack.
I have to go, he said. I'll walk you down, Moo said.
March in fortune, Petto, and take the clowns with you, said Bronzy.
Sonica nodded and left the chamber with Moo.
Fancy another? Bronzy asked Boone.
Boone stared back at the Het, hard-eyed.
Pious. He is clean.
As the proverbial, Bronzy replied. Whoever Roxana was in bed with, he was playing games with you. A subliminal veil, a mind trick, maybe. I don't know. Pious is solid.
Bronzy waggled the bottle.
So?
Go on, then, said Boone. They walked down into a lower courtyard where the last of the dancers were waiting beside a fat-wheeled transport in what remained of the daylight. Sonica nodded to Lon and let Shah take his bag and stow it in the transport's panniers. The driver started up the truck's engine.
"Is there anything you're not telling me, Petto?"
Moo asked, looking up into his face.
"Like what?"
She shrugged.
Hurtado is a rogue, and I wouldn't put anything past him, but you, Het, you're as straight as a die. You always have been. I don't believe you're capable of subterfuge. If you are, it must come with effort, so spare yourself that effort. Is there anything?
No, not at all. She nodded.
Good. Get on your way. Whip the clowns into shape and march in fortune. I'll look for your preliminary report tomorrow.
Yes, Axel.
If they give you any grief, call me in to straighten them out.
Thank you. It won't be necessary.
Don't let the dancers haunt you, Petter, she said. You're not carrying some curse that will infect the clowns, too. New start. Fresh page. Get the old hundred fit and ready for the hell that's about to break.
I will. Moo smiled. She paused and then stood up on tiptoe to kiss his cheek.
I know you will, she said.
Sonica climbed into the transport, and it rolled away down the yard towards the gate. The tiny, childlike figure of Honan Moo stood in the lengthening shadows and watched until it was out of sight.
So, we're clowns now, are we? Asked Lon over the grumble of the transport's engine.
Seems so, said Sonica.
They rocked in their seats as the vehicle lurched along the uneven track.
You all right there, Het? Asked Shah.
Yes, said Sonica. Why?
You keep rubbing at your hip. You got a sweat sore or a dust blister?
No, Sonica said, shaking his head. It's just this damn formal jacket chafing.
Sonica turned aside and looked out of the dirty window vent at the passing desert, which was staining with a startling maroon hue as the sun finally slipped out of the sky. The Hydra brand on his hip was still raw and fresh. The cave was cool and remarkably angular. Roxana presumed it had been cut out of the rock with melters or some kind of precision drill. It was a cube, 10 meters by 10, lit by a series of lumen orbs placed around the base of the walls. The light they gave out splashed up the dark walls and made her feel as if she was underwater or on some airless moon. The air smelled of dust and cold stone. The air smelled of hopelessness. She was shivering and terrified, and the terror magnified her body's reactions, reinforcing the drop in its core temperature. She tried to slow her breathing. They had seated her on a wooden stool, her hands cuffed behind her back in the middle of the cave. Then they had left her alone. It felt as if hours had passed, but she suspected that it was merely a few minutes. A figure came in through the cave's only egress. He was larger than was possible for any regular human male. A giant. An Astartes giant. He was dressed in a simple dark body glove that somehow emphasized his huge build and muscular strength more pointedly than any suit of power armor could have. His head was bare, noble, hairless, powerful, copper-skinned. His eyes were as bright as a sapphire sky. He came across the cave floor slowly and stood in front of her. She looked up at him. "Uxor Roxana, Said?" he asked. The sound of his voice made her think of slow glowing embers. His words issued as gently as honey dripping from a spoon.
"Yes.
I am Alpharius, Primarch of the Alpha Legion."
"I know who Alpharius is," she replied, feeling a tremor of panic in her chest that she could barely control.
"Do you know why you're here?" he asked.
She nodded.
"Say why, please."
"Conic Henniker," she said. "You're looking for Conic Henniker, and you think I know where he is."
"Do you, Axor?"
She shook her head, dearly wishing her hands were free so that she could press them against her chest and persuade her heart to slow down.
"We'll see. Do you know what Conic Henniker's real name is?"
Roxana looked up at the giant sharply.
"I see you do not. No one could fake a response like that. Your beloved Konig's real name is John Grammaticus.
John
Grammaticus. John Grammaticus. What about the Cabal, Uxor? What do you know of the Cabal?
I don't know what that is, she replied.
I see you do. Just as you couldn't have faked the first response, you couldn't conceal the second. You know about the Cabal.
Roxana bit her lip. He mentioned it, that's all.
Alpharius stared down at her. His expression was almost benign.
Help me help you, Uxor. Where is Konig Henniker?
I don't know. I really don't. He was with me for a while, but he vanished. Yesterday, just after the grand welcome. I don't know where he is.
We'll see, said Alpharius. He nodded.
A much smaller, robed figure entered the chamber and came to stand at the Primarch's side. Roxana blinked and tried to focus. Though she could see the robed figure plainly, she could not resolve its face.
This is Shear, said Alpharius. He will help you exorcise your doubts. Brace yourself, he added.
The central security center of the Terracotta Palace was a large, low-ceilinged chamber filled with whirring and flashing cogitators and bustling adepts. The heat stink of the machines was acrid and harsh. Cooling systems had been rigged along the walls. At nightfall, the duty rotated. Adepts arrived in their russet cloaks and took over from the rostered operators on duty, signing in their biometrics as they took over machine stations. He sat down at his appointed machine, his biometric accepted. The departing operator he was replacing bade him good night.
Salutation, Adept Arum, the screen display read.
That was good. That's who he was.
Adept Arum typed in his access codes. Data flowed in a sudden gush across his lithographic screen. He pulled his russet robe closer and leaned in to study the graphics.
Attend!
The senior adept on the chamber's central dais cried out, and all the operators stiffened.
Carry on, said Dinas Chain as he walked into the room and went to join the senior.
Adept Arum risked a glance over his shoulder. Chain stood in quiet discussion with the senior adept on the dais. He was barely 5 meters away. Adept Arum decided to continue with his work. He typed quickly, using his stolen biometric clearance to pull up confidential material. Uxor Roxana. Official scrutiny. Actions of the Lucifer Blacks in the last 15 hours.
Oh, Roxana. Oh, my love, what have I done to you?
You, said a voice at his shoulder.
Adept Arum looked up quickly. Dinas Chain was standing over him.
Sir?
Arum asked.
Why are you accessing this material?
Chain asked.
I was told to, sir, by my superior. It is a request from the Uxor Primus of the Geno Chiliad. Trying to clean house, I suppose, said Chain.
I imagine something like that. The Chiliad are very conscious of the fact that they have been found with a traitor in their ranks. Chain nodded.
All right, carry on. Process your findings to the Uxor Primus, but copy me the details first.
Sir?
That's an order.
Yes, my lord. Chain turned away and went to resume his conversation with the senior adept. Adept Arum continued to type. He pulled up the interrogation report submitted by the companions that afternoon. There were 2 names. He depressed his station key and rose to his feet. Both the senior adept and Dinas Chain looked over at him.
Adept? The senior adept asked. Request permission to access the docket archive?
On you go, Arum, nodded the senior adept, and turned to continue his conversation.
Adept Arum left the chamber. In the hallway outside, he threw off his russet robe and ditched his biometric. John Grammaticus tucked them away in an alcove out of sight and walked away down the corridor in the lamplight. Two names. Sonica. Bronzy.
Dinner's chain cut the senior adept off suddenly.
That man. That station, he said, pointing to the vacated cogitator.
Arum, sir? Asked the senior adept. He's a sound fellow, good at his work. What is your problem, sir?
Something about him. Something familiar, murmured Chain.
Sir?
I'll be right back,
said Chain, and left the station. Outside, the hallway was empty.